I really don't have a text tonight, but I'd like to speak to you tonight about five tragedies. Five things that are tragic in our day and time when it pertains to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to read just a few verses. John in chapter 1 and verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of a light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to him gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I'd like to speak to you tonight about five tragic things that happened to us and happened in our world tonight. The first tragic thing is there are those that have no light. John came to bear witness of that light, and yet there remains multitudes upon multitudes of people that know not the light of God. That is a tragedy. With our riches, with our ability, with our opportunity we have to travel all over the world now. But there are yet people that have never heard the gospel one time. They have the light. The Bible says in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Maybe you and I have forgotten what it was like to not have known him, to have never known the Savior. Have we forgotten the pit that we've been called out of? Have we forgotten now the times that we walked in darkness? This world knows not the Savior. They carry heavy burdens and they don't know how to get rid of them. Look at the book of Mark in chapter 5. The book of Mark in chapter 5. In verse 25 it says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague immediately, of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, who touched my clothes?" This woman for 12 years carried a burden. For 12 years, she sought her own remedies. For 12 years, she went by the recommendation of the world and knew not the light. 12 years with an infirmity? 12 years going to different doctors and nobody has a solution? 12 years of people guessing and experimenting with her. And yet this very same thing happens in the spiritual realm. I know people that were Catholics, they were born Catholics, they were raised Catholics, but they come to the place that they realize this is not the solution. I'm still carrying a heavy burden. My sins have not been washed away. Although I've been faithful, I am still not saved. Maybe they get fed up with the priests. Maybe they see the hypocrisy in the religion, and they go about, not knowing where to go about groping as those that are blind. Seeking somebody to guide them, and they become Jehovah's Witnesses, and their burden becomes heavier. Or they become Mormons, and their burden becomes heavier. They jump out of the frying pan into the fire. Things do not get better for them. My Bible says this woman labored for 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians. Do you know what people will do out of desperation? Many of you know that my mother had cancer. In her will to live, she became a guinea pig. In her desire to live, she went and signed a form at the University of Michigan and said, "You can give me any drug. You can experiment with me. You can do whatever you please, just so that I might have a chance to live." And she suffered for it. I would think it would have been much better just to say, "Doc, give me some painkillers. I'm going to ride this thing out." But she spent many a night vomiting, many a night in pain and suffering. Because she desired to live. You know what I know about this world? They desire to go to heaven. They'd like to know the salvation that you and I have. They would love to have the peace of God, but they know it not. They would love to know the tranquility that you know and have experimented. They would love to know the blessed Savior, but they suffer things of many physicians. They put heavy burdens upon their backs, suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had. Now it might be worth it if things were better, no? I mean, if you give everything you have and they find the cure, yes! If you go to the hospital and you suffer these things and you vomit all night long and you have great headaches and your stomach is wretched, but you come out on the other side better, you would say, well, it was worth it all. But when you spend all that you had and suffer many things and nothing better, that, my friend, is a tragedy. This world knows not the Savior. They are full of religion. There is an abundance of doctors, abundance of religion, but there's only one Savior. There's only one light. There's only one true light, and that light is Jesus Christ. Amen. This woman did not even keep the status quo, it says, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. I'm reminded of an elderly woman in Aguascalientes. Her home was about from here to that wall from the railroad tracks. Every time the train went by, the whole house just shook. I don't know how people live in houses like that, but they do. We were preaching out in front of her home, and she invited us into her house to speak to her about the gospel. Sitting down in her home, I noticed that on one of her legs, I don't remember which one, was a big running sore. You know the kind the yellow goo comes out of? Yucky. Terrible. And as we were discussing the scriptures with her, I asked her, I said, ma'am, I noticed that your leg has some sort of sore on. Oh, yes, she said, but my aunt, she has given me some leaves. Apparently she was a herbal healer. Or I don't even understand what she was. But her aunt had recommended some leaves that she put on this sore every night. We didn't think about it, anything about it. She invited us back next week to speak to her more about the scriptures. We came again, and her sore had grown, and she was hobbling much more. We said, ma'am, are you taking anything for this? Well, I have an aunt, and she has recommended to me some water, and I'm drinking this water. It has a special solution in it, and this is going to improve my condition. Well, ma'am, have you ever considered going to a physician and having a doctor look at it? No, don't worry about it. My aunt will be just fine. She invited us back again the next week. Coming back, knocking on our door the next week, she could not answer the door. She was laid up in bed. She says, I'm sorry, but I just can't get out of my chair now. And while we were talking to her, it was hard for her to concentrate on the scriptures as we were reading them because the pain was excruciating. I said, ma'am, you know, I know a doctor. I know a medical doctor. Brother Jim Unsicker lives right there in town. I could call him up. I'm sure he'd be more than happy to come over here and give you some antibiotics to kill this infection. No, no, don't worry about it, because my aunt has given me some food to eat or some other type of medicine. We came again the fourth time, and this time she did not answer the door, and they told us not to come back. The pain was too much for her. You know what that lady was missing? She was missing a physician. She was missing somebody that knew how to cure her. You know what this world is missing? Dr. Jesus. They are missing the great physician. Yes, he can heal their sins. He has the balm of Gilead. He is the balm of Gilead. He has the touch that can heal their soul. But they know not the light. John in chapter 5. The book of John in chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, of halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the trouble of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am yet coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. This man suffered for 38 years waiting for some man to come by. Maybe an angel did come down. That's what it says, an angel came down. There's a lot of things in the Bible I can't explain. Maybe people were really getting healed if they were the first one in. But you know, that's a terrible kind of hope to give to people. That you gotta be the first one in. That you gotta make it the first, and if you don't make it as the first, you're not gonna make it. 38 years this man sat in blindness. Not knowing the Savior. Having no help. He was in the world, but the world knew him not. And they still don't know. That verse over in Matthew 24, talking about the coming of the Lord, talking about the days of Noah, that the flood came upon it and they knew him not. There are verses in the Bible that move me, that to me are great tragedies, that there are people out there that know not the Savior. Amen. There's another tragedy that I've seen in Scripture. Another thing that burdens my heart to think that there are people out there that they're not completely blinded, but their vision is blurred. They have never really seen the light as it is. Somehow, their vision of Jesus Christ has been obscured. Maybe by their own deception, maybe by the deception of the devil, maybe by the deception of religion, but those are the people that think they're saved, but not. That is a tragedy. I'll not dare to compare these tragedies. I would dare say, though, that all of them are tragic. Because the destination of both is the same place, eternal hellfire. Look, if you will, in the book of John in chapter 8. We touched on this already this week. John in chapter 8 and verse 39. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto him, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto him, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. I want you to know these people are in a tragic state. They are 100% sure that God is their father. But Jesus spake with the authority of the Father and declared unto them that God was not their father. They were convinced that they were on the right way. They were fully persuaded that they were in the right. And they had nothing to worry about, that they were going to make it. After all, if their religion was the largest religion, their religion was the correct religion. Their religion was the most beautiful religion. Their religion had authority in the Scriptures. Their religion was one that professed the only one true God. They had much truth, and yet remained in ignorance. They were deceived. You know, it's one thing to know you're sick, and know you need a doctor, and it's another thing to have cancer eating inside of you and you not even know it. Now, which is more tragic? Both are going to die, some unexpectedly. Look, if you will, in the book of Luke in chapter 13. And they said unto him in verse 23, and they said unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter into the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and he began to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know ye not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the prophets in the kingdom of God and you yourselves thrust out. Isn't that a tragedy, my brother? My friend, isn't that a tragedy for them to sit and to hear the words of the precious Savior, but to not to know that they were lost and on the road to hell? To somehow deceive themselves into believing because they showed up on church on Sunday and heard the Word of God, that that was sufficient for them to enter into the kingdom of God. For them to somehow believe because they were born in a Christian family or a Christian nation, that that was sufficient enough for them to enter in the kingdom of God. But Jesus said, ye must be born again. It is not sufficient to hear the Word of God. It is not sufficient to know the truth. Ye must be born again. You must be converted. The shock that will happen in that day. Can't you see it? Does it not move you? Do these scriptures do not bring something of it in your heart? Maybe not physical tears, but in your heart, doesn't that make you cry? To think that these people are going to stand before God Almighty and say, but, how can this be? But, I thought I was a Christian, but Lord, open unto us. And to hear those dreaded words, I never knew you. But I had a Bible. I never knew you. But my daddy was a Christian. I'm sorry. I never knew you. But I went to church on Sunday. I'm very sorry. I never knew you. The Bible says they thrust him out. Isn't that tragic? Isn't that tragic, my brother? Does it not move you to stand up for Jesus? My Bible says that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. It also says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. There is another tragedy that I see in the scriptures. Those that would reject the Savior. Those that once upon finding the great physician, that they would reject his counsel and continue following the counsel of those that cannot heal them and those that cannot save them. That is a tragedy. To know the truth and to reject it is a tragedy, my friend. Look, if you will, in Matthew in chapter 27 and verse 19. And when he was set down in the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, talking about Pilate, saying, have you nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, whether the twain were ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, let him be crucified. Another part that says, crucify him! Crucify him! Oh, that has to be a tragedy. That has to be a tragedy. For those that have the Savior before them, instead of crying out, have mercy upon me, a sinner, they cry out, away with him! Crucify him! I want you to notice something in these verses. First of all, it says, because of envy they delivered him. In verse 18, for he knew that for envy they delivered him. There are those in this world tonight that for evil motives they cry out, crucify Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus saves freely. It doesn't cost you a dime to get saved. God's not after the silver and the gold in your wallet. God is looking for your soul. He wants to save you, and he saves you freely. But there are those evil workers in this world tonight that are making a profit off the name of Jesus. And when Jesus comes saving freely, it cuts into the profit margin. You know what my Bible says? Those evil people, verse 20, the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude. Wasn't the multitude that came to Jesus when he came into Jerusalem saying, Hosanna! Hosanna! And now they were praising and giving glory to Jesus. That multitude was glorifying Jesus Christ just a few days before this. What happened? The religious pressure came. The arm twisting came. If you continue with this nonsense, we're going to throw you out of the temple. If you continue praising this Jesus, we're going to excommunicate you. You're going to lose your business. People are going to make fun of you. And somehow the people were persuaded. And so when Pilate gave them a choice, they rejected a Savior. That's tragic. Where were the defenders of Jesus? Where were those that knew the truth and said, no! Count the cost! It's worth it to follow Jesus all the way! Where were those to contradict and stop the mouths of those liars? Where were those to stand up and say, no! Follow Jesus! He's the only way! Cost what it may, but follow him! Because there's going to be a resurrection. Amen. If there's no resurrection, then our faith is vain and it does not matter. Join whatever religion you want. Do as you please. It's all vain. But my brothers, my faith is not in vain because Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. He is the resurrection. But where were the defenders of the faith? Where were those to persuade the multitude to choose Jesus? There was one trying to do her part, the wife of Pilate. But where was the rest of them? Tragic. Tragic. To think that people will reject Christ, and it goes on every day. I'm reminded of the case that happened in San Luis Potosí. I think Bill has told you this, or maybe Joey has told you this many times. They'd gone into a home and or began preaching out in the streets, and they ran across a young man, a drug addict, an alcoholic, a fornicator. Everything that's evil, this was, he was it. Everything you can think about somebody being wicked, this young man was wicked. He heard the gospel and God saved him. Before he got saved, he stole from his mother. He cursed his mother. He was just one rotten apple. But he got saved. You know what happened to him? His life changed, because that happens every time. When God touches somebody, they are immediately changed. My Bible says when that woman touched Jesus, she was immediately cleansed. And when Jesus spoke out of the man, he immediately rose up. My Bible says all those that are in Christ Jesus are new creatures. Amen. This young man, Nacho, was born again. He was converted. He was saved. God had mercy upon him. Oh, the love of God. You know what he began to do? He stopped stealing. He stopped drinking. He stopped fornicating. He went out and got himself a job. You know what else he did? Instead of cursing his mother and stealing from her, he began to support his mother. You know what his mother did? She praised God? No. She kicked him out of the house. She kicked him out of the house. And she said, I don't want anything to do with you. This young man, 17, 18 years old, comes up to Bill and says, what am I to do? My mother kicked me out of the house. Won't you come talk to her? And Bill and the brothers went over to speak to her and said, ma'am, what's the problem? You hear your son? He's cleaned up his life. He's not drinking. He's not running around. Instead of stealing from you, he's helping you out. What could be the problem? And she said, with the same bitter attitude that we see in the scriptures when they cried out, crucify him. She said, I would rather have my son to be a fornicator and a thief and a drug addict and a drunkard. I would rather have him steal from my purse every night than to have him to be a hallelujah or a Christian. I would rather have him be a Catholic and low and wicked and vile and scummy than to have him follow your Christ and your Savior. Those that do not outwardly reject Christ, those that are almost persuaded. We find this in the book of Acts in chapter 26. Look if you will there. Beginning in verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto that heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great. You do good to follow his example. Witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first, that he should rise from the dead. And should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus. But speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Would to God that we do the same. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I, except these bonds. There is another tragedy tonight. Those that are almost persuaded. Those that would not outwardly reject Christ. Those that have a knowledge of him and know that he is the only way, that know the truth and have been persuaded of it. Yet, but they refuse to come to Christ. They believe the prophets. They're convinced of the soundness of the doctrine, but they remain almost persuaded. Almost, but lost. They're right on the edge. They are they that say, tomorrow, another day I'll be saved. Right now, I just don't want to do it. Yes, I am convinced, but not right now. And yet my Bible says, boast not thyself to tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth.
Amen. Don't put your hope in tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
You have no promise of tomorrow. What is your life? It is but a vapor.
I had this in my notebook. I thought I'd read it to you. It's a clipping from a newspaper that I cut out 15 or 20 years ago. If you would permit me, I'd like to read it. Easter Roses Too Late is the headline. Evelyn Bell, 18, voted class favorite last year at Southwest High School. Never saw the dozen Easter roses sent to her Saturday by her fiancé. She was killed in a head-on collision at 3:43 a.m. Saturday on Pearsall Road in Southwest Bexar County. Two persons injured in the three-car accident were Michael Wayne Flattery, 20, of 7418 Brook Valley, and he goes on to list some other names. Flattery was reported in fair condition at Wilford Hall Medical Center, and Hancock was treated at Bexar County Hospital and released. Miss Bell's fiancé, Michael Black, is in the Navy, stationed in California. The daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Bell, of Mr. and Mrs. Howard Bell, gives the address, was a freshman at San Antonio College. Bexar County Sheriff's Deputy Joe Suceda said Miss Bell was driving a foreign subcombat car heading west when it was in a collision with an eastbound auto driven by Hancock. Flattery was a passenger in the Bell auto. Paul Morales, 17, told the patrolman he saw the autos and swerved to miss the wreckage, but his car struck the Hancock vehicle. Morales was not injured. Miss Bell had made plans to trade in her subcompact car for a larger car Saturday, according to her sister Vivian, 20. Found their children and practically everyone. Miss Bell planned to major in special education, her sister said. The roses arrived as a surprise Easter gift from Black, who was later notified of Miss Bell's parents, by Miss Bell's parents, that she was dead. Had some plans, didn't she? 18 years old. Planned to get married. Planned to buy a new car. Planned to do some things. Planned to graduate from college. Had good intentions. Planned, no doubt, of being a mother. Planned, no doubt, of being a faithful wife. Planned, no doubt, even way in the future that someday she'd be a grandmother. Yet that day never came. Tomorrow never came for her. She died. It would do you well to read the obituary column, because the death angel comes upon all people at all times. And you never know. What is your life? It's but a vapor. My Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Look, if you will, in Hebrews in chapter 4, quickly. Hebrews in chapter 2, verse 3. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto him, unto us by them that heard him? That's a great question. How are you going to escape if you neglect so great a salvation? No, there's a great tragedy tonight that some people are so close to being saved. You here tonight, if you're not saved, you are under the gospel gun. And you are listening to the great invitation of Jesus Christ that he came to save sinners. You are close to being saved. Don't put it off, because it'd be a great tragedy for you to walk out these doors and to pass into eternity without Jesus Christ. I believe I mentioned 5 tragedies. We've touched upon 4. It's a great tragedy for those in this world that have never heard the gospel. They have no light. It's tragic to think that there are people in this world tonight that are convinced they're saved, but they're damned and on the road to hell. It's tragic to hear and to know of people that outwardly reject Jesus Christ. It's tragic to see people so close, yet so far. I can remember when I worked at the post office, pitching mail, talking to a young man about the Lord. I said, why don't you come over tonight? I'd like to talk to you more about the Lord. He came over to my home, and I began opening up the scriptures, telling him about Jesus Christ and how he's willing to save a sinner. And then telling me, but you just don't understand how wicked I am. I said, it's all right. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse from all sin. And I can remember him and his wife, tears just coming down his eyes. And I said, Tom, why don't you call upon the Lord right now? Now is the accepted time. Don't wait another moment. He said, Brent, yes, it's true, I can see that. I'll do it later. I said, Tom, don't walk out these doors now. Crocodile tears literally falling off his cheek. Brokenhearted, no doubt God, the Holy Spirit had touched him. He said, no, not right now. Just let me go home. What could I do? Showed up for work the next day as if he was a complete stranger. Last I heard from him, I heard he was messed up with the Church of Christ. Religious but lost. Hebrews in chapter 10. And verse 26,
For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of a judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy, who have trodden under foot the Son of God, and have come the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and have done despite under the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance that belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. My friends, if you reject Jesus, where else are you going to go? If you neglect Jesus, there is no other doctor. There is no other pastor. There is no other Savior. There is no other way. There is no other life. He is the only way. What are you going to do with your sins? There's only one cure for sins, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And yet tonight, my brothers, there remains a tragedy. And that tragedy falls upon you and I this evening, because we know the truth. We know that those that do not know the light will die and go to hell. We know that. We are persuaded of it. We confess the doctrine. We know that without hearing about Jesus Christ, that there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. We are convinced of it. We also are convinced that there are people out there with lots of religion, but no Jesus. They've been baptized 14 times over, but they don't know the Savior. We know of those that have rejected a Savior and have been persuaded by evil priests to deny Him. We know of them. We're not blind to these things. And we know of family members and friends and those on the job that are almost persuaded, but not completely persuaded. And yet we don't tell them. My Bible says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. My friend, it is a tragedy to know the light and not spread the light. It is a tragedy for you and I to know the truth and not proclaim the truth. It is a tragedy for you and I to have seen what has happened in our lives and not stand up and be a witness and a testimony. It is a tragedy for you and I as believers to know the Savior. And to know that these people that have been afflicted for 12 years or 38 years or 50 years that are carrying heavy burdens, and to know that the Savior wants to lift those burdens, and yet our mouths remain silent. It is a tragedy for you and I to know that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, black and white, brown and green, Mexican, Polack, American, it does not matter, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And yet the church remains silent. What if everyone here, just this small group tonight, became a faithful witness? I didn't say become a missionary and going to Poland or going to Mexico. I said, what if us, just us tonight, just opened our mouths boldly and gave a faithful witness on the job? I didn't say go out and be hateful and call people names. I just said just stand up on the job and say, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you burdened, my friend? I know a Savior. He'll carry your burdens. Does sin got you down? Has sin burdened you and afflicted you? I know a Savior that can forgive you.
Amen.
Tired of religion? Come to Jesus. Five tragedies tonight. Where are you this evening? I'd like every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Don't think about your neighbor. Think about yourself. Examine yourself. Where are you tonight? Are you lost? Without a Savior? Are you almost persuaded? Be convinced, my friend. Jesus wants to take you as you are. He just asks you to repent. Recognize your sin. Come unto Him, all you that are heavy burdened and heavy laden. He'll give you rest. My Christian brother, you know the Savior. You know what God expects of you. Do not resist the Spirit. Submit to the Spirit of God. This brother's going to come and we're going to sing a song. If God's touched your heart tonight, do something about it. Let's all stand and sing.
240.